The final full European presidential and vice presidential debates rescheduled for next week due to financial issues of one of the poll body's partners. Presidential bet Manila Mayor Iscol Moreno slammed once again, this time for making a joke aimed at the LGBT community. We'll speak with Bahaghari Chairperson Ray Valmores Salinas about this issue later on in the program. Russian President Vladimir Putin claims victory in the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol. And the Philippines will begin rolling out its second COVID booster shots next week. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. Our top story, the last presidential and vice presidential debates sponsored by the Commission on Elections have been rescheduled due to financial issues with one of its partners. Our very own RG Cruz now joins us with details. RG, what more can you tell us?
Hi, Carmina. The final presidential and vice presidential debates of the Commission on Elections will not be held tomorrow and instead be held on April 30 and May 1, which is next weekend, with a new partner, the Kapisanan ng mga Broadcasters sa Pilipinas. This after the previous partner of the poll body for the debates, both Pilipinas and Impact Hub Manila, suffered financial issues following or after the checks that they issued to pay the venue of the previous debates, Sofitel Philippine Plaza, were dishonored by the bank. So that's as far as we know, as far as that part of the story is concerned. And in the press conference this morning, Commissioner George Garcia announced that because of these circumstances, it is impossible for them to hold the debate this week. And of course, during the questioning by journalists during the press conference earlier today, the commissioners defended their choice and explained their choice of both Pilipinas as to why they were selected in the first place for this gargantuan undertaking of hosting the debate series. And we would like to listen in to their interviews from earlier.
With regards to the process of the selection, Impact Hub or Vote Pilipinas was our partner in the registrations. So successful yung registrations natin with them as partner, and there were also activities in the previous election that Vote Pilipinas was also our partner. So matagal ang usapan, matagal yung crafting ng memorandum of agreement natin, and then we see no reason why we cannot partner with Vote Pilipinas. With regards to their obligation with the hotel, COMELEC is not a party to the contract kung ano man ang meron sila with Sofitel. But we hope we can address, kung meron man kaming obligation on our part, I hope we can address that.
Ginawa namin ang lahat ng magagawa namin for the last two days para lang they can come up with a good plan so that maybe they can set aside their differences. Baka pwede na lang ituloy ito. But as of last night and as of this morning, unfortunately, ay mukhang wala pang tamang direksyon doon sa pag-aayos.
Carmina, we understand from the commissioners that the poll body did not spend any public money in the hosting or in the organizing of the debate. So it was really Impact Hub Manila who spent for the debates. And we also understand, I think, from Commissioner Kulay earlier that Impact Hub, as a producer of the debates, was supposed to earn from the revenues of the advertising for the debates, but and that we understand that that is the one that is supposed to be used for paying the expenses of mounting the debates. But right now, before the press conference ended, the commissioners told us that they will be investigating the matter as to how Impact Hub got the right to host the debates and everything else that came afterwards. Carmina?
Yes, RG, listening to what Commissioner George Garcia said in that soundbite that he sent us, it's obvious that they were able to talk to Impact Hub Manila and Vote Pilipinas to thresh out what has been happening. So what did the company tell them? What did Impact Hub Manila and Vote Pilipinas tell them as to why things went awry?
That actually remains unclear. I think that will be part of the investigation. My understanding is that the hotel's representatives sought the help of the PO body in collecting from the from Impact Hub, and so that is when the communication between the three among the three parties began. But as to specifically what is the reason why this thing came about, that remains unclear.
All right. And so we continue to follow this story. Our correspondent RG Cruz there joining us on the line. Thanks, RG. Take care. Keep safe. Back here in the newsroom, over 4,700 vote counting machines have arrived in the province of Cebu. Let's get details now from our correspondent, Annie Perez. Annie, over to you.
Yes, that's right, Carmina. About 4,773 vote counting machines arrived this week in Cebu after a two-day shipment. We are told by COMELEC Cebu Provincial Election Supervisor, Attorney Jerome Brillantes, that it was only today that they have decided to deliver these VCMs to the different towns and cities in Cebu because they are having problems also with logistics, contacting the trucking suppliers and all those who are involved in delivering these VCMs to the different towns and cities. Along with the VCMs that they delivered today are also other election paraphernalia such as ballot boxes, CF cards, and batteries that already arrived early on during the first week of April. Attorney Brillantes also said that while they're having a hard time contacting contractors for trucks who can help them in the delivery, everything has been smooth so far, Carmina. They started early dawn today, and until this time, they're still continuing the delivery to the different towns and cities in the province of Cebu. Along with COMELEC also are the policemen and the military who are securing the transport of these vote counting machines and other election paraphernalia. Other non-government organizations also who served as volunteers for the elections are also in place, making sure and documenting that these objects and things that will be used for the elections are not tampered and are also guarded. Carmina, Attorney Brillantes also said that once the VCMs and other paraphernalia have arrived in the different assigned warehouses in the towns and cities, these will not be opened until the May 5 schedule for the final testing and sealing. It is important to note that these election paraphernalia and VCM should be heavily guarded since Cebu is one of the most vote-rich provinces in the country with over 3,200,000 voters who are expected to turn up during Election Day on May 9. And that's the latest from Cebu, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Annie Perez there joining us on the line. Back here in the newsroom, new video surfaces showing the moment armed men fired on presidential bet Leody de Guzman and a group of tribal leaders in the province of Bukidnon. The video obtained by ABS-CBN News appears to belie the initial police report on the incident that the gunmen fired warning shots.
Paputok sila ng paputok, hindi naman warning shot kasi naka-horizontal. So nagtagpuan yung mga kasama ko, sabi ko, hindi naman kami makapag-away sa inyo, wala naman kaming armas. Marami akong tama. Mabuti na lang hindi tumalab sa katawan ko. Decidido itong mga kuwana pumatay talaga.
The victims already filed a complaint against Mayor Pablo Lorenzo III, whom they are accusing of being behind the shooting. The mayor allegedly runs the company occupying the land they are trying to repossess, but the mayor is denying any involvement.
Nag-recall ng cellphone yung kasama namin. Pag sinabi niya na hindi niya alam kasi nagbibiro siya. Alam niya kasi nandoon ang Nika, lahat-lahat, at saka yung iba-iba pang mga tribo, mga hitliman. So, nandoon sa aming dayarabo.
The COMELEC says it is now investigating the incident. Meanwhile, police have identified a suspect in the shooting incident in Bukidnon. The director of Police Regional Office 10 also says the investigation has been elevated to the provincial level.
With regards to the allegation that there is inaction, medyo magkaiba po yung version ng andun na police at saka yung grupo ni Nakaliodi. So that's what I'm trying to investigate further.
Aksyon Demokratiko Standard Bearer Isko Moreno earns the ire of the LGBTQ plus community. They are calling out Moreno over a joke involving his son, Joaquin, during a campaign sortie in Butuan. Here's what the Manila mayor said.
Sa ating mga LGBT, mga regalo ko sa inyo si Joaquin. Libre ang buti.
The group say Moreno's booking banter is insulting and connotes the stigma gay people are constantly sex hungry. Well, let's get the side of the LGBT group Bahaghari. We're now joined by their chairperson, Ray Valmores Salinas. Ray, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, so we heard what the Manila mayor had to say. We also heard the reaction of the crowd then. Tell us, why is this unacceptable to you, and why should this kind of a behavior be unacceptable as well to the public? Ray.
All right, so the issue with what Isko Moreno said is two-pronged. Firstly, it's dehumanizing to stereotype the LGBT community as solely sex-hungry and looking for bookings. That's just not true. What we're looking for as a community is not bookings, as Isko Moreno joked about. What we're looking for is equality. It's way more than that. Second, Isko Moreno basically made a joke about pimping his child in Filipino, pambubugaw. I wonder if Mayor Isko is even familiar that during the economic crisis faced by Filipinos during COVID-19, there have been countless young people, including minors, who have been forced to sell nudes and other sensitive materials just to make ends meet and so that they could fund their online education. This is not a laughing matter, and most of all, this is not something that should be joked about by someone who is running for president. And we need to make it clear, Ms. Carmina, that these kinds of jokes are not merely jokes for people like Isko Moreno who have a huge influence. These statements fuel the cycle of violence that the LGBT community faces to reduce us to sex-hungry peoples instead of people who demand equality and who are rightfully people who should be given equal service and equal democratic rights. It's a huge disservice, and it fuels the violence that we're facing as a community.
Wait, I was talking earlier as well about how the public reacted when the mayor uttered those words, and that only shows that there's so much more left to be desired when it comes to, you know, really threshing out these issues, various issues involving gender and equality and inequality as well. What does that tell you about how the public reacted to the mayor's statements?
It's no secret that the vast majority of our country right now still has a very conservative culture, to the point that it's become a norm for politicians like Isko to make a joke about the LGBT community. In fact, that's what we need to start questioning. It's part of traditional politics. Every time we talk about the LGBT community, it's always in the context of a joke. We see sorties like that of Isko Moreno joking about us looking for bookings. Why is it that when we talk about the LGBT community, we are always a punchline? We're always people to be laughed at. Instead of creating these jokes, what I think politicians like Isko and presidential aspirants more so should be focusing on when it comes to discussing the LGBT community are how they're going to provide our rights. What is ISCO's position on the SOGI equality bill? What is ISCO's position on marriage equality or same-sex marriage? What is ISCO's position on various issues that affect the LGBT community beyond those jokes that he's making about us? Mm. These are the things that we need to talk about more.
And later on, we're going to talk more about that. But first, what does this tell you about the character of the person, of a person who, as you said a while ago, engages the LGBT community, but only in such a way that they are punchlines? And this is not happening exclusively to the campaign of the mayor. For sure, there have been numerous instances as well, and you know that, during the campaign season. So what kind of character is being shown here? And what do you say about the kind of policy or the lack of these kinds of people win in the elections?
So we need to make it clear, for someone to be able to make that kind of joke when you're speaking to the public, what does that say about your character? To put it bluntly, it shows that you don't even view us as humans worthy of respect. The fact that you would even be able to think about just making that joke, oh, ito, LGBT, you're looking for bookings. Diba? It just shows you how dehumanized we are in the eyes of that person making such a statement. And you know what, Ms. Carmina, this is not something new, as you mentioned. We've seen this kind of behavior from someone, for example, who ran as president, making jokes about women. Someone who ran as president making jokes saying that he used to be gay and then he got cured, as if to say that being gay is a disease that you get cured from. And after 6 years, we've seen the situation for women and the LGBTQ plus community worsen. So it reflects the kind of policy that will eventually be pursued by a person making such statements, by a presidential aspirant making such statements.
We also got to talk about what happened during last Sunday's press conference. In that press conference, statements were made by those present about trying to avoid that the gender card be played. They were avoiding that kind of a situation, but only ended up sort of amplifying sexism and machismo as they were talking to the media. What is your assessment about how everything went down then?
So that press con, that infamous press conference that we're talking about, it was definitely misogynistic. At one point, the same person we're talking about today making jokes about the LGBT, Mayor Isko Moreno, also joked that maybe VP Lenny Robredo, who he spent the whole time criticizing, he said that maybe because she's a woman, she would get offended. So that reflects how Mayor Isko and a lot of other traditional politicians like him view us, how they view women and how they view the LGBT community. We are essentially just tokens for them to gain support. But when it comes down to it, we are not even being viewed as people who are worthy of respect, people who can lead, and people who deserve to make a difference in society. So that's how we view the situation.
Ray, we're about 2 weeks away from May 9, and we've been monitoring what has been happening on the campaign trail, as I'm sure that you have been monitoring as well. Do you think that gender issues have been discussed thoroughly the way they should be discussed throughout the campaign season? Every single candidate promising change, but when you talk about gender issues, not much has been talked about that.
Yeah, to put it briefly, Ms. Carmina, I don't think so. I don't think that issues relating to women and the LGBT have been discussed enough. If you notice, when we talk about things like marriage equality or same-sex marriage, it's always reduced to a 30-second yes or no, are you for or against question in presidential debates. Never something that we actually flesh out on. Never something that we discuss further the implications of, especially to the millions of Filipinos out there who no doubt would benefit from this. The same goes for providing services for women who are victims of violence, especially now during the COVID-19 pandemic, where violence against women and children has worsened and has become exacerbated. We barely talk about that. In fact,
and why do you think this is so? Why do you think, you know, candidates have not really devoted a lot of time talking about this? They're focused on other things, and maybe their strategy is to just deal with this if and when they win.
That's probably part of it, to consider, yeah, we'll face this when it's here. But it also shows a lot about the character of that president. When you're trying to draft a platform for people who you're trying to serve, what does that say about you if you don't even take a second to think about what issues women are facing, what issues the LGBT are facing? And the only thing you have to say when it comes to sorties is that you're willing to pimp your child out to them for bookings. We need to take a look at the platforms these presidential candidates have made. Because concretely speaking, when it comes to the demands of the LGBT community, barely any of the candidates have made clear positions on these issues. In fact, to put it bluntly, it's only been VP Lenny and Caliote de Guzman who have even drafted a platform explicitly mentioning the things that they want to push for the LGBT community.
Tell us, because, you know, as we're talking, this is not just about the candidates, but this is also going to be about that vote that each and every Filipino, at least those who are eligible, will make come May 9. Tell us, why should gender issues be front and center of their choice? What does this mean for them, even if they don't belong to your community, for example?
Yeah. If you noticed, Ms. Carmina, this election, this 2022, actually has a different character compared to previous elections. We see now how much more active, much, much more active the LGBT community is when it comes to the campaigns, the sorties, the activities being hosted by different candidates. The LGBT community has always been present, but now we're taking up more space. There's always rainbow flags everywhere and rallies and sorties. And that tells us about how hungry we are for change. This is not the same as before, where we're just accepting that this is how things are. The fact that despite the pandemic, members of the LGBT community are becoming more and more, members of the LGBT community as well as women are becoming more and more politically active, that shows us how hungry we are for change.
And when you talk about, I'm sorry to cut you there, Ray, but when you talk about change, the change that you're talking about is not just for your community, correct?
Right.
Because this is something that will go beyond the confines of your community.
Exactly. The fact that LGBT members, for example, are campaigning for entire political platforms, not just for LGBT issues, that also shows us, Ms. Carmina, how national issues, for example, issues relating to poverty, these are also LGBT issues. Issues relating to the pandemic response, to how we respond to COVID-19, these are also women's and LGBT issues. These are issues that affect us as a community, as well as the Filipino people as a whole. So definitely we see how active people are now.
All right, and we're going to have to leave it at that. Ray Valmores, thank you so much for joining us today. Sorry, I should say Ray Valmores Salinas. Important to have that. Thank you for joining us today. Take care and keep safe. Nice to see you again, by the way.
You too.
And from there, we're going to take a break. Up ahead, the Philippines set to begin rolling out second COVID booster shots by next week. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Good back. We're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The last Philippine presidential and vice presidential debates rescheduled for next week due to financial issues with one of the poll body's partners. Presidential bet Manila Mayor Isko Moreno slammed once again, this time for making a joke aimed at the LGBT community. The group Bahaghari says Moreno's booking banter dehumanizes them and connotes the stigma gay people are constantly sex hungry. Russian President Vladimir Putin claims victory in the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol. And the Philippines will begin rolling out its second COVID booster shots next week. President Vladimir Putin claims to control Mariupol, hailing it as the liberation of the Ukrainian port city. But Putin has called off plans to storm Mariupol's Azovstal steel plant, which is still sheltering hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers and civilians. Instead, he wants the compound sealed off to give the last pocket of Ukrainian resistance a chance to surrender. Taking full control of Mariupol is seen as a major strategic victory for Russia, as it will help connect annexed Crimea to the territories of pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine. U.S. President Joe Biden, however, says there is no evidence yet that Mariupol has fallen. Biden has announced an additional $800 million package for Ukraine, bringing its total military aid to more than $3 billion since late February. Meanwhile, three school buses filled with evacuees from Mariupol have arrived in Zaporizhia after crossing through territory held by Russian forces. As Russian troops move further into Mariupol, more mass graves are again found along their path. A U.S. satellite firm says it has identified a mass burial site containing about 200 graves near the besieged city. According to Maxar Technologies, their images show an expansion of graves that were dug up last March. Local Ukrainian officials accuse Russian forces of burying the civilians they killed there. While Moscow has yet to respond to this, they have denied all previous allegations of mass killings discovered in other areas where Russian troops have retreated from. Russia imposes new travel restrictions against the West in retaliation for sanctions following its invasion of Ukraine. Among those covered by the ban are U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris, Meta's CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and dozens of defense officials, business leaders, and journalists from the U.S. and Canada. Russia's foreign minister says the list is comprised of people responsible for the Russophobic policies of the two countries. Russia had earlier banned Zuckerberg's Facebook and Instagram, calling them extremist organizations. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says the country needs $7 billion a month to function amid the devastating economic losses inflicted by Russia. That's an increase from Kyiv's previous estimate of $5 billion. Speaking before leaders of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, Zelensky said the Russian military aims to destroy all things Ukraine that can serve as an economic base for life. These include railroad stations, food warehouses, and oil refineries. Both the IMF and the World Bank have warned of a deep economic contraction in Ukraine this year due to Russia's invasion. The World Health Organization strongly recommends Pfizer's antiviral pill for patients with milder COVID who are at risk of hospitalization. The WHO also recommended Paxlovid over Merck's own antiviral pill called molnupiravir, as well as the widely used remdesivir drug. The UN agency's experts say Paxlovid prevents hospitalization more than the other available alternatives. It is also easier to administer. But the WHO has this one concern about the drug.
So actually, nimeltavir ritonavir is actually already available in several high-income countries, as well as in some upper-middle-income countries and some lower-middle-income countries. And we're aware that there's several large procurers, including two multilateral deals and a couple of countries, that could be significant. So ultimately, those amounts could actually strain supply in the short term. So WHO is monitoring this closely and is working with its partners really to make sure that low and middle income countries, those with the most limited purchasing power in this market, have access to the medicine.
The Philippines recorded 134 new COVID cases Thursday. That's the lowest single-day tally in almost 2 years. The number of active cases also stands at its lowest so far this year at 16,771. The COVID death toll, meanwhile, breached 60,000 after the health department reported 66 new fatalities. The Philippines set to begin its nationwide rollout of second COVID-19 boosters on Monday. It was initially expected to start by the end of this week, but Health Undersecretary Mirna Cabotajes says they need more time to reach a consensus on the guidelines of the booster drive. The second booster shot has only been approved for the immunocompromised for now. The DOH advises the public to wait for the official guidelines from the National Vaccination Operations Center.
Sa ngayon, ang akin na inaprubahan batay sa rekomendasyon ng Health Technology Assessment Council ay yung second booster dose para lamang sa mga immunocompromised na mga pasyente katulad ng mga taong mga nakatanggap ng organ transplant, mga taong umiinom ng mga gamot para sa kanilang immunosuppressives, ito yung mga nagkaroon ng mga kidney transplant, yung mga pasyente na cancer, yung mga HIV/AIDS patients, yung mga taong meron chronic dialysis, no? At yung mga taong meron untreated HIV/AIDS, taong may mga primary immunodeficiencies, no? At mga individual na diagnosed na meron talaga silang kahinaan sa kanilang immune system. Ano?
As for the vaccine brand, the country's vaccine expert panel has recommended those eligible for an additional booster to choose a different brand from the first booster shot they received for better protection against the virus. Presidential Advisor for Entrepreneurship Joey Concepcion points to Filipinos' quote, complete freedom as to why the country has low uptake of booster jabs. He says people are now being complacent as travel restrictions ease amid a low COVID case count. He also believes greater mobility for those who have received their third jab will encourage others to get their boosters.
Everybody, the government, we have to push harder. I mean, yes, people want to respect the rights. You know? Like we are not going, there's this thing of we can't force. And I agree we can't force. But we can create situations like which we already did now in the Philippines. We have to find a way. And that to me is greater mobility you get for those who are boosted.
As of last Tuesday, only about 12 million have received their third shot out of more than 67 million eligible individuals. I'm going to take another break. Still ahead, the Memphis Grizzlies complete an amazing comeback in the NBA playoffs. Stateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us. Back with more news and business. Philippine Central Bank Governor Benjamin Diokno attends the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank's spring meetings in Washington. He met with JP Morgan investors on the sidelines to highlight the Philippines as a prime investment destination. Diokno's core message, the Philippine economy rebounded in 2021 and has a strong growth prospect this year due to recent structural reforms, a stable banking system, and a robust external position. Diokno also spoke during the Barclays Emerging Markets Roundtable, and there he discussed the economic outlook of the Philippines and how the BSP's policies, including a record low interest rate of 2%, helped keep the local economy afloat during the pandemic. Delegates of the global tourism industry gather in the Philippines as the country hosts the World Travel and Tourism Council Summit. And as Jackie Pascual tells us, stakeholders have called for the further easing of border controls in a bid to revive an industry battered by the pandemic.
The sessions for the World Travel and Tourism Council Global Summit opened in Pasay Thursday. This is the first major international conference hosted by the Philippines this pandemic. Over 1,000 foreign delegates representing various stakeholders like airlines and hotels gathered to discuss the revival of the tourism sector ravaged by the COVID-19 pandemic. Philippine Tourism Secretary Bernadette Romulo Puyat led the opening ceremony as she credits the government's vaccination program as the key to the opening up of borders and easing of travel restrictions.
The Philippines, after 2 years, finally opened our borders to welcome you all to our beautiful destinations around the country. And we are thrilled that this summit marks the beginning of a new era for us. We continue to emphasize how both businesses and government, the private and the public sector, can accelerate recovery and
WTTC President and CEO Julia Simpson is happy for the return of its first on-site summit as she urges all nations to fully open to tourists, following the footsteps of countries like the Philippines.
Congratulate the Philippines, a nation that showed determination and courage to reignite travel. The great powerhouse that is China is still closed. So, I call on governments to look at the science and reopen their borders, open their economies, and get travel and tourism and the millions of people who earn their livelihood from it back to work.
Simpson is bullish on the growth of the tourism industry, including in the Philippines, where she expects the creation of 2.9 million new jobs over the next 10 years. Local tourism players are excited for the revival of the tourism sector. Philippine budget carrier Cebu Pacific says it has already reached 100% of its pre-pandemic figure in terms of capacity and flights in the Manila domestic route. And they may return to full pre-pandemic level next year as they wait for more countries to accept foreign visitors.
We believe that Cebu Pacific will probably be back to pre-COVID levels by 2023-2024. Domestically, we're already there. No, but internationally, fully 2023-2024. In terms of capacity, in terms of flights, yes. Manila domestics more than 100%.
Cebu Pacific is set to resume flights to more destinations like Sydney, Hanoi, and Bali. Other local airlines are also reopening domestic routes. However, some local government units are not yet ready to accommodate tourists, like Batanes and the town of Sarangani in Davao Occidental.
Kakakwento lang sa amin ng aming regional director naman sa Region 2, yung Batanes pala, nagbigay kasi kami ng visita app which we also gave to Baguio and other tourist destinations. Yun ang hinihingi ng Batanes. So we could offer that para yung magkaroon ng confidence magbukas ang LGU. We encourage everybody, all the LGUs, to reopen, pero nasa kanila yon. Sa amin naman, yung mandate naman namin talaga is are the hotels na everything passes the health and safety protocol.
The Philippines' hosting of the Global Summit is a sign of recovery, says the Tourism Department, and they hope more areas will open up their borders as this will also boost economic activity in the country. Jackie Pascual, ABS-CBN News.
The Philippines marks its first official National Innovation Day, unveiling a new web portal to help Filipino innovators reach greater heights. Let's hear more from Warren De Guzman.
Welcome to Filipinovator's beta website tour.
Filipinovation, that's the name of the new web portal being developed by the National Economic and Development Authority with the goal of educating the public on how innovation can improve lives while providing a platform for innovators to communicate, collaborate, and co-create innovative products and services.
An online portal for Filipino innovators to expand their network, update their knowledge and skills, and collaborate for more innovative solutions. This will be accessible through the NEDA website, and we invite everyone to participate once it is launched.
Socioeconomic Planning Secretary Carl Chua says they hope to launch the site this month. Currently, it is still under beta testing. The new site was unveiled during the first National Innovation Day. Chua, who sits as the vice chairman of the National Innovation Council, says priority areas have already been identified to guide the national innovation agenda. These include learning and education, health and well-being, energy, finance, trade, and blue economy and water, among others.
Innovation is not only about cutting-edge technologies, but also finding better ways to do things. This includes improving basic government services and processes so that Filipinos will no longer waste time lining up and farmers can use mobile apps to directly connect to markets.
The Filipinovation site and the National Innovation Day all emanate from Republic Act 11293, also known as the Philippine Innovation Act, which adopts innovation as a driver of inclusive growth and national competitiveness. Warren De Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
McDonald's Philippines finally explains why it's holding off on bigger servings of its world-famous fries. It's due to the global freight crisis. But McDonald's quickly assured customers all of its stores will continue to serve fries in regular sizes. It adds they are working hard to bring back all the sizes very soon. International news outlets have reported of French fries shortages in Indonesia, Malaysia, Taiwan, and South Korea, also due to global supply chain problems. In sports, the Memphis Grizzlies clawed back from a 26-point hole to shock the Minnesota Timberwolves 104-95 in Game 3 of their NBA playoff series. The T-Wolves led 47-21 in the second quarter when they got blitzed by the Grizzlies with a 15-0 run. Memphis then poured it on in the fourth quarter, outscoring their opponents by 25 points. Desmond Bane led the Grizzlies with 26 points, while Ja Morant completed the franchise's first playoff triple-double. Memphis now leads the best of seven series, 2-1. Meanwhile, the Dallas Mavericks have gained a 2-1 series lead against the Utah Jazz, and they're doing it without superstar Luka Doncic. Jalen Brunson scored 31 points, while Spencer Dinwiddie added 10 of his 20 points in the fourth quarter for Dallas. Doncic has missed the series' first three games due to a strained calf. There are signs he might make a return in Game 4 on Saturday. Well, Google marks this year's Earth Day with a different kind of doodle. Google.com features a grim time lapse of images of Earth through the years. It's a graphic reminder of the damage done to the planet. Clicking the Google Doodle will redirect you to the climate change page that contains all the key information about its realities. A United Nations climate report said the world is on a fast track to a climate disaster, and humanity has only less than 3 years to halt the rise in carbon emissions and less than a decade to slash them by nearly half. And before we go, the first real-time and multi-screen interactive channel here in the Philippines will officially launch in May. The Pinoy Interactive Entertainment, or PAI, channel will allow viewers not only to watch TV shows, but also join all-day contests, build following, and even steer the storyline of a teleserye across multiple screens. PAI is a collaboration between ABS-CBN, interactive entertainment company Chroma, and venture builder 917 Ventures. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.